My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. It's a 1 hour earlier show today, only because I have a dentist appointment at 8 o'clock, so we moved it back an hour, which complicates things. I'm feeling it. I don't know about you, but with this time shift and then you add an extra hour shifting back, I'm telling you, this reminds me of old days. Literally, this last few days I've done, it was like old days because I covered down on the Resistance 6 shows on Friday. They had two of them, which counted for 3 hours. And yesterday I did their Sunday show, which was a 2 hour show I did. And that gets back to the old days when I was doing like 5 1-hour shows a day. Let me tell you, you feel it. It's, I feel like you're being radiated or something from the screen time that you're in front of. It's pretty amazing. But what can I say? Hey, Patriots, one thing then that brings me to is sleep. And the best thing you need is a good night's sleep. That helps in everything. And I'm fortunate, and I want you to be fortunate as well. I just love my MyPillow stuff. MyPillow 2.0, Giza cotton sheets, a down comforter and duvet, and a comfortable experience sleeping in bed. You can even add a MyPillow mattress. They're all fantastic. So all you need to do is head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards and take advantage of the great savings. While you're there, you might check out the towel sets, which are fantastic. I have the kitchen towels and the bath towels. And I even have the MyPillow slippers, which are another great thing. There's so many great products over there. And there's so many great things for the house and home. Remember, we no longer have to deal with Bed Bath & Beyond, the woke culture. And that's to a large degree thanks to Patriots shopping over at MyPillow. So head on over to MyPillow.com/bards. MyPillow.com/bards. Take advantage of the great savings. Use your promo code BARDS, and you're just going to love what's there. And if you haven't been over there for a while, go check it out. Lots of good stuff, lots of good savings. I did the other day. It's that springtime time to get some fresh stuff in the house. And if you're digging your bunker and you're getting ready for the end of the world, treat yourself to a MyPillow 2.0. Because if you're going to live underground for months and eat canned tuna, you want to at least have a comfortable pillow. So, again, see, it's so applicable, right? I mean, what can you say? So it's just like, even for your bunker and the end of times, you can find an application for MyPillow. Right? They even have a travel pillow, so if you want to throw that in your go bag, like when you're having to race out of town under fire, getting shot at by the insurgents, heading to your stronghold, you can still throw in that MyPillow travel pillow and know that you're going to be safe. Wear that while you're wearing your body armor and locked and loaded. That's good. It's all good. See, it's all sorts of applications. You won't be disappointed. So again, head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards, promo code Bards. Peter Schiff is a economist, runs the Peter Schiff Show. He says that we're heading into price controls. No surprise. We have a government that's out of control and not in a good way. And he says to expect that. They say the rally is the first rally in new highs that we're in. The public is not participating. So in other words, we're starting to see gold price increase pretty radically. It's being pushed by the central banks because they're buying up gold. And with this, they're going to start expecting them to intervene because this is not helping the economy. People worship the dollar. People are starting to migrate out of the dollar. And this has them deeply worried. So you can start to expect price controls, or at least the attempts of it. The last time I think they did that was under Jimmy Carter, which was ridiculous. Massively failed, by the way. But here's what's really at the core of all this. And this article is a good reminder to the players involved in COVID-Con, whether you like this or not. It's not my attempt in the morning to soothe you with platitudes that make all the Trumpsters feel Trumpy loved. The fact is, truth is truth. And this is that this month marks the fourth anniversary of one of the most disastrous assaults on human rights in American history. It was on March 16th, 2020, that President Trump issued guidelines for 15 days to slow the spread. That's worked well, I'll tell you. Which stated that governors of states with evidence of community transmission could close schools in affected and surrounding areas. The administration instructed all members of the public to listen and to follow the directions of your state and local authorities. That is not constitutional, but he did it. It was at this time that an American president, for the first time in American history, introduced the idea that it was possible and perfectly legal for government institutions to close down the economy by forcibly shutting en masse countless businesses, schools, and churches. 400,000 churches never reopened. Thank goodness. Thank you, God, for getting rid of those pits. Trump stated repeatedly in press conferences that it was up to government officials to decide if we open up, which was, it's like going through PTSD for the nightmare of stupidity that was there. It quickly became standard procedure for health bureaucrats, governors, and media figures to casually speak of closing the economy or opening up as if we were talking about a coffee shop and deciding the closing time. Meanwhile, across the country, local law enforcement officials willingly worked to arrest and harass business owners, worshipers at church, soccer moms at the park, and anyone else with the termity to venture outdoors for activities not approved by the ruling class. Like it or not, Trump signed that. Trump imposed that. And this is the same Trump today. I mean, and he's the same guy that's pushing that, telling you it's still, that the vax is still a good idea. Just saying. The small minority of Americans that remained committed to human rights and private property soon discovered how powerless they really were. We had a fight, and it's worth memorializing this day, March 16th, coming up as the day of darkness of this country, and also the rise of the true patriot, because it was that. So, you know, everybody's in this place. I keep bumping into this. And if we speak truth about anybody that, like Trump, for example, and I get these responses of like, well, what are we going to do without him? What are we going to do if he loses? The last time I read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, there was something that was very evident. It's called we the people. We have the power. And the problem is that Americans just don't understand what a republic is. They don't understand what a representative republic is. They think that a representative republic means hire a tyrant, hire a president that will fix it for you. That's not what the presidency is. And yet, if you listen to all the rhetoric going on, everybody's like, Trump, 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 he's going to fix it. Trump's not fixing anything until we the people fix it. We could fix this today, by the way. It's not hard. This entire thing would fix today. All it takes is people just to defy and start uniting. You don't have to pay taxes. Don't listen to illegal rules. Just get the Border Patrol to start doing their darn job. If they don't, send out 1 million men down to the border to arm the border and to stand too. If your politicians in your state aren't going to do the job, county commissions can ignore them through the sheriff. And if they threaten, then go up there and arrest them. Send up posses from the sheriff and arrest them. Bring them under trial. That's what we have the authority to do. Declaration of Independence. We have it. But it takes will. It takes spine. It takes men wanting to be strong. So there you have it. It's pretty simple. You know, in this, in our town here, I'll tell you an actual success story of it. We had a chief of police that was woke. Don't ask me how in a small town we got a woke fool. But we did. And he was a semi-Black Lives Matter lover. This is a town of 22,000 people. It's a conservative base. He's not, he wasn't popular where he came, when he came in. And he decided that it was a good idea to report. This is how spineless this dude is. He was to report our local restaurant called Casey's, which is longtime local diner. Love these folks. They're great. Report them to our version of the health and welfare, whatever they are. They're the restaurant licensing group. Oh, it's OSHA. I'm sorry. I'm saying to state OSHA. And they were fined for being open during COVID. And what happened is that he learned the wrath of the community. There was so many people that basically told him in various words that they were going to lynch him that he went whining to the sheriff, Sheriff John Hanlon. And John Hanlon just looked at him and said, I warned you to leave Casey's alone. He said, well, I was just trying to do my job. He said, you don't touch these people's local hangouts. Leave it alone. Well, Casey's ends up getting a fine. People raised money literally within a few days to pay it. Casey's returned the money to them because they said, that's not for you to do. We'll take care of this. And then very smartly structured their company, their restaurant in a different way. And I don't remember exactly legally how they did it, but essentially no employees, only volunteers, and people would simply have to pay the employees by tips or / donations. It was a massive success. The community came out and just poured out in support for Casey's. And the police chief has never been heard from again. He's up there somewhere sucking off the dole of the public. I can't stand that dude. I would love to just give him a one-way ticket out of here forever. And I don't mean like send him to another city or something. But there's really no city for him to work in because he'll take his same politics with him. So I guess in another way, it's good because we have him contained. So we'll suffer that wait for another town not having to have him. Point is, folks, that on March 16th of 2020, our government worked in unison, our federal government worked in unison with President Trump at the head to shut down this nation and to use the authorities that were instructed by the CDC to leverage control through government agencies to tell free Americans that they couldn't run their business. And that is literally what it was. And like it or not, just like the father of the vax, the father of the shutdown was Trump. And these are things I keep reminding everybody of because everybody wants to butter up this new campaign like there's going to be something new here. He surrounded himself with retarded people, evil people. And I would just hope and pray that this man has a better discernment to start choosing people that are truly those of liberty and of the United States and not those in the pocket of pharma, big pharma and deep state, like Pompeo would be a good one who arranged for the assassination of the attempted assassination of Julian Assange, advising Trump. What can I say? Unbelievable. There's a Harvard oddities collector. he's a strange duck. He's half of his he's got spikes on his head, and he's got half of his face has been tattooed like a lizard, and he's changed one of his eyes to black. I'm not kidding about this. He's a wonderful man, obviously, but he's so wonderful that now they have had to. They've given him probation after unlawfully trafficking in human body parts. Unbelievable. In the old days, Jeremy Pauley of Thompson 42 would have been called a grave digger or a body snatcher. However, the harvester of Harvard Medical School's cadavers preferred oddity collector. Thank you very much. Well, why not just change the dialogue? I don't want to be a grave digger. Now, despite an extensive illegal operation in trafficking body parts, Pauley was spared any jail time by federal prosecutors at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Middle District of Pennsylvania. Thompson will serve 2 years of probation after pleading guilty last year to conspiracy and interstate transportation of stolen property. Yeah, if you're taking off limbs of some dead person, I guess that would be considered stolen property. Oh my, we are in such a strange time, aren't we? It never ceases to be amaze me. Well, and then in other wonderful news, FEMA camps are being prepared across the nation in its FEMA regions for a huge influx. I think the question we have to ask is what exactly is that influx that they're preparing for? Let's hope that it's illegals and it's not good old American citizens, loving, God-fearing patriots. Which continues to be the question. We don't know who's actually setting up FEMA camps. And we hope that the FEMA camps are not for us. I mean, and I'm being serious about this because we're heading into something very dark and very crisis-driven. And everybody keeps throwing hopes onto one president and people aren't taking responsibility for themselves. And because of this, no one's stepping up to do the right thing. This is what bothers me a great deal. FEMA camps are being expanded and growing across the country, no question about it. And they're being done in the 10 regions, the 10 FEMA regions. And they were built under COVID, under the idea of locking people down and arresting people for the violation of the laws, like for not abiding to the government's rules. That emergency act of government that was put in place was signed by President Trump on the 16th of March, 2020. Now, patriots, I know that people don't like this because they want to hear good things about President Trump. The fact is the man locked the nation down. And he can tell you all day long how Joe Biden did a worse job. This entire thing happened because President Trump signed the emergency order to allow states to make the determination of what businesses and agencies they could shut down. He gave them that authorization. So there's no walking away from that. That's a fact that everybody out here that wants to say, go Trump, you have to hold the man accountable to it. Vote for him all you want. Fact is, we have to hold him accountable. And we're here because we've never left that space. We've never walked out of that reality that the government is still under the emergency powers to lock things down. We all know this. If they decide to go into COVID again, it's already there. They don't have to worry about anything. And that's thanks to the signature by President Donald J. Trump. Just like Operation Warp Speed was President Donald J. Trump's thing, which he defended when Biden tried to take credit for and say that these new drugs were going, these vaccines are now being used to cure cancer, which is complete nonsense. Trump stepped in and told him, thank you, you're welcome, Joe. Under me, we got it done in 8 months or whatever, and under you, it would have taken 12 years. This is a weapon that is killing people. If you listen to Catherine Austin Fitz, she's directly said that President Trump's authorized $10 billion for the depopulation program. And so if we look deeper into this, and what we find is an article that just has come out now, and it's this was actually published. It's not new, so I would be fair. This article was published on 23 September 2022, and it is an article on trends in internal medicine, and it's the headline of this is COVID-19 and illegal U.S. bioweapons activity, an insider's revelation by Jaitbart Klassman, MD. And this is what the abstract reads. Listen to this. Millions, if not billions of people now believe that the world is under a bioweapons attack. A lot of blame has been placed on the U.S. funding of bioweapons. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. NIAID and NIH, has come under severe criticism for funding the infamous gain-of-function research, which was central to these vaccines. But we'll continue. Which were developed by, which were accelerated by Operation Warp Speed and originally signed into effect in September of 2019. Not the year later. Trump authorized that this in before COVID ever started. Many believe Fauci has not acted alone or even on his own accord. The author worked as a fellow at NIAID, NIH from 1988 to 1991, starting soon after Fauci became head of the NIAID. The author witnessed firsthand infiltration of NIAID, NIH by Israel's Mossad. While working at NIAID, NIH, one or more of the co-workers expressed a need to, quote, preempt the next Jewish Holocaust, which would mean kill a bunch of people that might have, it's a future crime mentality. For 30 years since leaving NIH, the author has paid close attention to Mossad's involvement in illegal U.S. bioweapons activity and attempts to disclose his observations. The author hopes to educate the public on the current bioweapons attack from COVID-19 and vaccines. The author believes that Mossad intends to kill billions of people. Already, 70% of the world's population have received a COVID-19 vaccine, which in all appearances has the ability to cause deadly, non-curable prion disease. The author hopes the information provided will help those interested in ending this covert war. That's from a ex post by Dr. Frenzor, certified account. And just to give you an idea of kind of the things that they're looking at through this is this idea of birth rates, death rates, and growth rates of a country. Russia currently has a 10.7 birth rate, but its death rate is 13.4, which means there's more elderly than there are youth, and it's in a growth rate of minus 2.7. That's a terminal fall for a nation. Germany is 9.4 birth rate. Death rates are 11.42, and then it's minus 2.02 in its growth rate, which is its net. They take the birth rate and they subtract the death rate, and it's in a terminal. So China has a growth rate of 1.35. That's that one-child policy that works so well that they do here the same way. But instead of saying to people, only have one child, here in the States they say, abort your child. And if that's not enough, please take your child in and have its balls cut off or its breasts cut off so that you can no longer have children. Same thing. We do it here. We just call it something else. We call it transgenderism and woke. Anyway, bottom line is growth rate in China is 1.35. They're in a terminal fall. Japan is 12.0 on its birth rate, 10.3 on its death rate. It's in a terminal fall of 1.7 on its growth rate and its net growth rate. U.S., 11.4 is its birth rate, which is probably most of that's probably illegals that are not injected and they don't understand yet that part of the requirement of being in the United States is to mutilate your children through the transgender clinics. Death rate is 8.95, and the growth rate is as a net 2.45. We're just under the minimum to maintain a nation. 2.5 you have to be at to maintain a nation. So we're right on the cusp of a terminal fall. But here's Israel. Their birth rate is 19.7, and the death rate is 5.32. Their growth rate is 14.38. Obviously, there is an attempt to raise up a Jewish state. Very interesting. But again, they're also 99% injected across that entire country, thanks to Netanyahu, who's turned them over to Pfizer as a crash test dummy for the new vax, which I think they all think is a good idea, while they go through a genocide to wipe out all of the Palestinian race completely from head to toe and toe to head. It's pretty amazing. But if that's, and that's another part that's coming, because somehow we've arrived in a place as a president can determine any time and at will that they want to, literally, that we can bring in illegals. I don't know how we got here. And this is one of the questions that we all need to be asking. How do we get to a point that a president's executive order can open and shut our borders at will, that the people that work the border won't pay attention to the Constitution but will only listen to the president's executive orders? So President Trump comes in and supposedly we're supposed to shut the border down, which was a big fight. The wall didn't get built. And illegals are pouring across here. Anything that he did to restrict border flow was immediately overturned and completely erased any gains that were made in the 3 years since we've had the coup of what we should call the Biden coup, because it's the people behind him, which are the globalists. The part of this that nags at me, and I'm just looking at numbers. This economy has lost 10 to 12 million people in the millennial class alone that have been erased from the workforce. That's Edward Dowd's work. They've either been they've been killed or they've been disabled by this vax. And that doesn't count the elderly. It may count the elderly. We'll just say out of the workforce, there is the majority of that blow came to the millennial class. So we're minus 10 to 12 million people in the workforce. It just so happens that Joe Biden has brought in 12 million people. And this doesn't, these numbers, you have to start looking at and asking yourself, okay, if President Trump signed the executive order, which ultimately has resulted in the death of millions, and we're going to blame Joe for the vax and the immigration problem, I'm kind of looking at this going, okay, Where do we have true accountability in our nation? Because Biden just followed from a policy that Trump put in place, which was the vax. The emergency powers were put in by Trump, not Biden. Just have to be clear about all this. So you can't look at one and throw stones at him. And this is literally the parable of, you know, we have the accusers and the woman and the adulteress. You can't look at one and not the other. You can't let one accuser be like, throw all your accusations at one and not the other. You have to look back at yourself. That's biblical. And we have to be honest here. And this is the problem I have with this entire campaign year, is that everybody wants to take this vax thing and dust it under the rug. They don't want anything to do with it. And they don't want to win with it. And they don't want to look at the accountability. And it's going to slide. I swear people are going to dust this one under the rug. They don't want to look deep at it. They're going to find a way to say it wasn't his fault. He had to do this. And yet the man still pushes the vax, as you know very well. But what's going to happen next here is another level of division as we work the divide and conquer strategy. And it looks like what's coming is as the churches now have positioned to support Israel and the public is divided between the pulpit and the support for Israel, Israel is now on its genocide move to wipe out every Palestinian. Apparently, Joe and company, which take us up to BlackRock and everything else, are about ready to rescue 6,000 to 7,000 Palestinians and bring them here. The problem is, as you will probably know, they won't be the cream of the crop. They'll be the ones trained to fight and likely come here to join the terrorist actions that will start happening here domestically. Take a listen.
I guarantee you what's getting ready to happen. I'm hearing rumors, 400,000 to 600,000 of these Palestinians in Gaza, we're going to fly them in here and make them citizens. That's the next thing
to happen. You're making news here. Hit us with that again.
Well, think about it. They're not going to take them in.
Egypt not going to do it.
No, they're not going to take
Jordan
them in. Well,
says,
they know who they are.
Jordan says,
they
no, thanks. We kicked them out. No,
yeah,
thanks.
The Saudis aren't going to take them. Nobody wants them. And so what's going to happen is old Joe, to win back his base, because a lot of them have gotten killed, said, okay, we'll bring in 500,000 to 700,000 of them. We'll fly them in. I mean, he doesn't even have to tell us he's doing it. Did he tell us about 325,000 he's flown in? No. They do things and don't tell you. And so they'll bring them in, like the ones that Obama brought into Minneapolis and Minnesota and, you know, all the, was it Somalians, I think?
Somalians.
Yeah, brought all those people in.
We got Omar because of that.
Yeah, well, get ready. Here they come.
All right, so they do it and they don't tell us. Obama doesn't do it. Biden doesn't do it. There are agencies that do this. So my question is pretty simple. If they can simply say, go do this and bring people in, what is going to change under a new presidency? I really mean this. These people are rogue. The government is rogue. What's going to change? And if we don't start asking these hard questions, we're not going to change this nation. So the branches of government run rogue. They will do whatever they want to do. One president is just a figurehead. He's a puppet of other people. And he's supposed to be the representative of the people. I get that. But if the people aren't stepping in and demanding accountability, since it's we the people and the government is allowed to continue to run rogue, this stuff is going to continue. It will continue over and over and over. The corruption's deep. And one man is not changing this. I guarantee it. It's going to be we the people that change it. And it's the only way forward. So there is, but in the process of the vax, just so you know, the Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs, has kept the COVID-19 vaccine mandate in place, even though there's absolutely no evidence that it's doing anything or it needs to be. But the reason for that is the mentality of what service members are. Service members are part of the test base that they constantly use for these vaccines. And so just so you are aware, the CDC is starting to prepare people under its new direction that you're going to have to get another shot.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now, right? It's March, so you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall, you're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We have the tools to do it. We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
Yeah, you start thinking about that because you're thinking too much right now. And the only virus out here is truth. And it does happen to change because it keeps jumping past their controls and their brainwashing. And so the only way to ensure that you'll be a good, obedient slave is to please take a COVID shot and take your flu shot. Because that way the nanotech can get into your brain and they can jump the blood-brain barrier. And yes, indeed, we can ensure that you become a walking retard and join the NPC crowd out here. This is unbelievable. And they just won't let it go. Now, the other problem we have in our nation right now, obviously, is unmitigated violence. A horrible issue happened. And it's in Missouri in the Hazelwood East High School. A fight broke out with a white girl that was attacked by a black girl. And the this is just violence beyond measure. This is all being fueled. So I just want to be clear what's happening here. First of all, the black girl took the white girl and beat her head on the ground until the girl died. She's a teenage girl, about 15 years old. She's now dead. I can almost guarantee you that the judge there, because it's where it is, will let this black girl off because of what something that they do, because everything we do now is racially based. All of this is the corruption within our system again of the wokeness. Now, I'm going to speak bluntly here. We're in a place where we are in a difficult place where we have racial division. And unfortunately, that means by racial division, either we come together as a community as a whole and start solving it, or we have to solve the problem by racial divide. It would be much better to come together as a community as a whole. There is no excuse as a youth to kill another person, period, end of story. And this, especially this brutal way. These are two people that got into a fight and one person killed the other. What they want us to see is that it is a black girl killing a white girl. That's what they want you to see. Because then we can start to have a racial divide and start fomenting racial hate. These are just, this is one, these are two kids that got into a fight, and one is more demonically possessed than the other. And we need to start going through this place and start stepping in. The problem is adults were there, they drove up, did nothing. Nobody went to save the girl. She's now dead. This violence in their schools is being fueled through the hatred for whites. This is the war against whites. It's happening openly. It's being fueled by teachers. I will tell you that one of the best things we could do right now is to arrest almost, I would say arrest every teacher in the nation and put them through a retraining camp, Mao style. Sorry to be so harsh, but I'm really just fired up on teachers. They're not contributing to the greater good of the nation, but they could contribute to the greater building of rock beds for new roads and new rail lines. So they could be given an axe and a jackhammer, and they could spend the rest of their days doing hard manual labor, reflecting on the way on their ways. So it's just horrific. You know, this is where we are. This is a quote by William Casey, and this comes from 1981. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And so it goes on here in an explanation underneath this post. It says, so we're clear. The educated people believe. The economy is amazing. Everyone is making more and prices are down. The border is secure. If it's not, it's because Republicans made it that way. Ukraine is winning the war. Israel is defending itself. The greatest threat to our safety is white supremacy. President Trump is a threat to democracy itself. The Supreme Court is the threat to democracy itself. Free speech is a threat to democracy itself. Election integrity and voter ID is a racist plot to stop black people from voting. Tucker Carlson is a Russian agent. Putting up White Lives Matter stickers is worse crime than gang raping a 12-year-old. Cows are destroying the earth. Three-year-olds can be transgender and should be medically transitioned. Men can get pregnant. Child sex trafficking is a conspiracy theory. Censorship of anyone we don't like should be a government priority. That's America today. But apparently it's not working as well as they wanted, because NASA is now preparing us for an internet apocalypse because of a huge solar storm that, amazingly, they understand will hit Earth in 2025. I don't know how they have that much accuracy on their solar weather, but they do. And so we're being prepared for that great moment of ends of times when, truthfully, we will lose the internet because just happens to be in 2025 when they expect and likely will have President Trump here to tear them apart, they think, or something. It's all about taking control and rolling in the new system. And what is the new system? The new system is all AI based. Here is a little piece with Colbert and Harari. We haven't heard from him for a while. He's actually a little skinny man. He looks like he has AIDS.
Do we need to teach our young people anything now that AI is here?
How to deal with AI.
Okay, so
that's one of
AI is, of course, one of the latest things that we've been anticipating for a long time. But now, in some, I actually think so far, very minor ways, AI is showing up in our society.
Hey, it's still a baby AI.
Okay.
We haven't seen anything yet.
Okay, so A lot of people are worried. I'm not that worried about AI. I just doesn't get my blood going to get worried about AI. I think of some positive aspects of it. I mean, I've seen how humans have handled history, and not great. And so I'm ready for the, you know, big machines that make big decisions programmed by fellows with compassion and vision. You know, I'm ready for the machines to tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Not really. It's extremely dangerous.
Why is it
to give up power to something we don't understand?
But they're just extensions of us. I mean,
no, they're not.
Yes, they are. We made them. They're us.
We made them, but now they become potentially independent of us. The one thing to know about AI, the most important thing to know about AI, it's the first technology in history that can make decisions by itself and can create new ideas by itself. People compare it to the printing press, to the atom bomb. No, it's completely different.
But is there any proof that an AI has come up with a new idea of
itself? Absolutely.
What?
All the time.
What?
Yes.
Give me one.
For instance, deciding what to show us on social media.
Oh, well, that's not a new idea. No. That is making decisions.
Yes. So I said two things.
Okay.
There are making decisions and there are new ideas. If, for instance, you think about ideas, if you take, for example, the game of Go.
What is Go? I'm sorry.
A much more complicated version of chess.
Got it.
Let's say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In East Asia, it's one of the oldest games we know.
Okay.
3,000 years of tradition in East Asia, entire schools of thought.
Okay.
And AI comes, and within a few years, plays like no human ever imagined that it's possible to play. And this can happen in more and more fields. And we have never encountered anything like that before. Because every previous information technology, it's simply copied and disseminated our ideas. The printing press just produced more books. Television just broadcast our thoughts. Here we have something that can create entirely new ideas, which are not even bound by the limits of our imagination. You know, our imagination is the product of organic biochemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they've created something now that they can't control that continues to grow and continues to gain enormous power. Take a listen to this on OpenAI, which kind of gives you some of the other parts of the emerging threat. It's not just AI, but it's those that influence it. That was Colbert's biggest error in his statement, that somehow it reflects us. Sure, if it does, it also reflects those that are influencing what it will become.
OpenAI just chose four new members for their board of directors. They could not have chosen a worse cast of characters. And there seems to be a pattern here. So yesterday they released this statement with their four new board members. First, we have Sue, the former CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, also a board member of Pfizer. She's also a member of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. But for some reason, when the White House wanted to write her bio, they thought that her two most prominent positions at Pfizer and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation shouldn't be on this page. I wonder why. Even spicier, this one's hard to find, she's on the board of directors of this company called Resilience, which, strangely, also has the CEO of InQtel on it. InQtel is the investment company for the CIA. There are actually a number of people on this board of directors that have links to the CIA other than this dude. And this company I'm talking about, Resilience, is the company that manufactured all of the mRNA for the thing that Moderna gave to everyone. Kind of weird. Next up is Nicole Seligman. Nicole is famous for being the president of Sony Entertainment, you know, the company that had some beef with Michael Jackson that we've recently talked about. She also previously worked at Paramount. She's a lawyer. And she's represented some interesting people, like Bill Clinton. And if you know the Iran-Contra scandal, she represented Oliver North in those trials. In this old article from the Washington Post, they talk about how, by all accounts, Seligman has won the trust and confidence of both President and Hillary Rodham Clinton. The First Lady thinks the world of her, says Mrs. Clinton's press secretary. Man, that's some high praise from a really great person. What a good endorsement. For those of you keeping track of how many Zionists are on the board of OpenAI, she's also Jewish. I believe that brings the total to 3 out of 7. I'm not totally sure if there's more or not. Because, you know, I can't think of anything better for Israel's public image than to have the AI that's giving everyone answers to their questions about the world, answers that are pro-Israel. And then we have Fiji, who is the CEO of Instacart, but she spent a decade working at high positions at Facebook. At the top, she was the head of the Facebook app. That's in addition to the Facebook executives already on the board, like Bret Taylor, who was the CTO. And he was the chairman of old Twitter when, you know, free speech was like totally good on Twitter. And we have Adam D'Angelo, who was high school friends with Mark Zuckerberg and the CTO of Facebook. So that's three former Facebook executives. And last but not least, the crown jewel, Larry Summers, former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, former chief economist at the World Bank. He was heavily involved in repealing Glass-Steagall, which is what allowed banks to gamble with all of our money in the stock market and cause the crazy bubbles and the crazy crashes that we've seen since. He was instrumental in both setting the stage for the 08 financial crisis, and then he was instrumental in the government allocation of our tax dollars to bail out his friends in the banks. I can't think of anyone that I would want farther away from the ethical development of AI than Larry Summers. As just one example of his high ethical standards, in the 90s, what's called the Summers Memo came out. A quote from it is, quote, "I think the economic logic behind dumping a load of toxic waste in the lowest wage country is impeccable, and we should face up to that." Meaning, I mean, it's really good business to dump all of our corporate toxic waste in poor countries because they can't do anything about it. And that's just good business, and we should face up to that. Right? And then obviously Sam Altman is also back on the board, making a total of 7 people on the board of OpenAI, and I don't want any of them anywhere near the development of AI technology. Remember, Elon Musk is currently suing OpenAI for marketing themselves as an open source, ethical, nonprofit AI development company, and then transforming themselves into a closed source, unethical, for-profit AI development empire that is working to control the entire state of information on the internet. I mean, working to develop technology that will benefit everyone all around the world. I mean, just imagine when you don't even need to do research and look for information anymore because AI will tell you everything you need to know about what's real and what's not. It's going to be a brave new world soon. Just you wait.
It'll be brave, all right. And if people don't do anything, it's going to be, whoa, so exciting. Pretty soon you're going to be walking out here and people are having to get their facial recognition biometric scan just to get into buying groceries. I'm telling you, I've closed my PayPal down because PayPal now is requiring a biometric scan to verify the account. And I just said, nope, no more. So done with PayPal. This is the insanity of the world we're in, and it's heading this way more and more, and it's becoming considered normal. You need to pay attention to the normalization of this. And again, I keep going back to this. Elections don't change things. People change things. Federal elections change nothing. Local elections change everything. This is where we're at. So as we roll into this nightmare with what's ahead of us, AI is on everybody's okay list. Pfizer has been okayed by everybody. We are being run by a Zionist cabal. And the objective in the end of the day is to neutralize America, turn us into a welfare state, and make sure that we can never rise again. The woke culture is happening at a speed of a phenomenal rate, and the mental infestation and the virus of hatred is moving at a pretty good pace. I don't know that it's moving quite as fast as it was because we seem to be arresting some of it with truth and faith, but that has to be a more aggressive push in order to upend this insanity. And this insanity is not getting less, it's getting more. So with that, I want to close today with a 10-minute piece here, and this is by Colonel Douglas McGregor, who offered an alternative to the State of the Union speech, and I think that it has some very solid views that are worth listening to, and then we'll close with prayer.
Americans, I am Colonel Douglas McGregor, combat veteran and former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense under President Trump. As chief executive officer of Our Country, Our Choice, I want to respectfully present an alternative view of the State of the Union. The Constitution, our nation's guiding light, mandates that the government promote the general welfare, a charge that obligates Washington to secure the basic necessities of life, energy, food, and shelter. Regrettably, the current administration is failing to perform these tasks. The current administration claims the gross domestic product is booming, but much of it comes from government spending and employment. The government share of gross domestic product in the United States today is 42%, including federal, state, and local spending. This outrageous share is similar to what it was in the Soviet Union in the late 1980s before the collapse. Rampant inflation stemming from this government share of the economy makes it difficult for families to buy nutritious food. A dozen eggs, which could be bought for less than $1 in 2019, now ranges from $2 to $4 today. With price increases of over 100%, in the same period, a median household income increased by a mere 9%. High mortgage interest rates jumping from 2% to 7.5% in less than 3 years places the dream of home ownership out of reach for too many Americans. Our national security is compromised. Unstable supply chains leave many store shelves empty. Our power plants and manufacturing facilities lack key spare parts. Ill-conceived domestic policies result in job losses and homelessness. The pursuit of misguided foreign military interventions has not only drained our resources, but also imperiled our hard-won energy independence, subjecting Americans to rising fuel prices and foreign influence. Today, the government employs an estimated 2.87 million people. If we include federal contractors, this number balloons to between 12 and 25 million. All of these events occur against the backdrop of a national sovereign debt that has skyrocketed to $34 trillion. Even worse, we are currently adding another $1 trillion to national debt roughly every 3 months. It is impossible to drain the swamp with unsound money and a colossal debt that we cannot sustain. Tragically, D.C. Beltway politicians are controlled by the so-called donor class. This form of corruption is enabled by a cancerous central banking system. With privileged access to capital, this ruling class orchestrates endless wars, enriching themselves and their cronies while sending our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to serve in foreign lands of marginal strategic interest to the United States. Meanwhile, open borders are allowing millions of illegals or migrants to flood into our country. This uncontrolled influx is straining our resources, overwhelming our communities, and destroying our prosperity. Reckless calls to defund and punish the police are crippling law enforcement. Officers are underfunded, undermanned, and unable to protect our citizens, making our cities unsafe for all, especially women, children, and the elderly. Open borders cannot be divorced from an explosion of criminality never before seen in the history of our country. The number of Americans dying from illegal drug or fentanyl overdose is over 100,000 each year, much of it trafficked through the wide open southern border. There are more than 26,000 homicides each year, according to the FBI crime statistics. This is likely an undercount because in the last 2 years, more than 40% of police agencies did not report data because of a change in the system the FBI uses under political pressure. The number of missing children each year is estimated at over 800,000, which works out to be over 2,000 children every day. This alarming statistic is worsened by the overt sexualization of our children in public schools. Our children are our future. They should be protected, not exploited. Washington has also spent $14 trillion on various Middle East wars over the last 23 years in a series of self-defeating military interventions.
More recently, Washington spent hundreds of billions of dollars on an unnecessary war with Russia,
with little to show for it except higher prices for millions of Americans at the supermarket and the gas pump. Trillions were also wasted in the aftermath of the engineered COVID disaster, enriching the laptop class, Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and big business, while American workers, small business owners, and independent contractors were destroyed. Trillions have been wasted on unreliable green energy, with metals mined in Africa and processed in China, while destroying American jobs and ignoring our domestic resources. The bottom line is the State of the Union is not strong. In fact, it is fragile and deteriorating. The question before us is, where does America go from here? Consider the following actions that should be taken as soon as possible. First, we must secure our borders, our airports and harbors. Defending the United States and the American people must be our top priority in national defense. Second, unless the United States itself is attacked, we must avoid unnecessary conflict. Prosperity at home demands peace abroad. U.S. national security must not be hostage to foreign interests or their domestic agents inside the United States. Third, we must restore the rule of law inside our country. We must remove activist judges who fail to uphold the Constitution and who release violent criminals and illegals into our country. It is time to revisit the practice of judicial appointments for life. Fourth, an effective American military establishment demands merit-based selection and promotion. Fundamental reform to reduce overhead and maximize fighting power is vital. Today, we have 43 four-stars for 1.1 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. In 1943, when 12 million men were serving, we had only 7 four-stars. However, strengthening our nation's security and restoring the rule of law are only part of the equation. We must also focus on revitalizing our economy and harnessing American innovation to secure our prosperity for generations to come. We must restore energy independence to America as soon as possible, with a mix of resources including natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind. We must reinvigorate American agriculture and incentivize family farmers and producers. We must outlaw foreigners and vulture capitalists from buying American farmland, securing access to food and our national independence. We must repatriate advanced manufacturing to the American heartland, maximizing the use of 3D printing, artificial intelligence, and robotics. To staff these jobs for the future, we must make public education a path to employment. American companies and individuals must be given one-time tax exemptions to bring trillions of dollars back to the United States. We must act swiftly to pare down the staffing of federal government agencies. Elon Musk eliminated 70% of woke staff at X, formerly Twitter, with no loss of site performance. We can do the same with our bloated bureaucracy. We must audit the Federal Reserve. They have failed in their mandate to maximize employment and maintain price stability. Lastly, cutting spending will not arrest the destructive impact of the national sovereign debt. We must restructure the debt to regain productivity and financial stability. Ultimately, we must reclaim our birthright as a free and sovereign people. We must restore the American dream for generations to come. We must renew our faith in our country. It is time for a course correction, ladies and gentlemen, a return to principles that have guided our nation through its darkest hours. We must recommit ourselves to the ideals of representative government, where the elected officials are truly accountable to the people they serve. Elected officials and bureaucrats who put foreign interests over American ones must go. Our nation's future depends on our unity and resolve to put America first. Only through such a renewed commitment can we restore the promise of a nation where every citizen has access to affordable energy, nutritious food, and secure shelter. The self-styled ruling class of globalist elites must not be allowed to enrich themselves at the expense of the American people. My fellow Americans, the road ahead is arduous, but our cause is just. Our cause is the return of prosperity at home, equality before the law, and peace abroad. Let us march forward, united in our pursuit of a more perfect union where the blessings of liberty are shared by everyone. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Join our movement at ourcountryourchoice.com and be part of the future to save America. Thank you.
It's a good speech. I don't agree with 100% of everything, but it's a solid speech, probably one of the most honest. And it's obviously he's giving a rebuke in his own way to the clown show that Biden was part of. What's important here to note is even in his speech, they're noting AIs again. The problem we have right now is we're in this, what they're calling a weapons war of the new AI and synthetic biologies are critical, they see, to the future of things. It's the only way that they see going forward because everybody has re-embraced the god of technologies, which is truly the pit of Satan. Until the world makes a decision to pivot back to something like Jeremiah 6:16, the ancient paths, and embrace truly who we are as God's children, we will continue to run into this abyss. Any future that is pivoted on AIs, any future that is pivoted on synthetic biologies, is not only anti-biblical, it is terminal to the human race. It will not end well. And unfortunately, people are too much driven towards gadgets and not driven enough towards the fundamentals of what we need to be doing and how we need to live. That's where ultimately the victory lies, not in the things, but in our faith. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you today for the blessed time that we have coming together to reflect and consider and to pray together. And we just right now pray for mercy on this nation and this world. We are walking in a place, Father, that people are continuing, even in their sense of faith, embracing the technologies as the solution of the future. And we know this where this heads. All of this that we face now is the technologies that were created by the fallen. They all root into something devious and demonic, and they lead us to places that we will deeply regret. So, Father, we just pray for an awakening of the hearts to realize that the true sense of freedom rests within our hands and the things that we create, not the machines and the beasts that we create that end up ruling us. So we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that thinking in the name of Jesus. We lift this nation up in prayer, ask for your hand of mercy as we enter into a darker time yet where people are literally continuing to fall to the trap of their idolatries. May the idolatries shake them and reveal them in their hearts and may they all have an experience with Jesus to understand whom they serve. And with that, their eyes opened and make a legitimate choice of being children of the Most High. Guide us, Father, protect us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Patriots, tonight there's a show hour change. It will be at 4 p.m. for tonight's Bards FM show. The reason for that is there's Podbean maintenance tonight. So we'll get it in before maintenance begins, which begins at 7 p.m., actually 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be going most of the night. Also, Leah Faith of Resistance Chicks, it's her birthday today. If you're so inclined, swing on over there to their website, drop them an email, send her a note, whatever you want, say happy birthday. It's a good thing. And today's show did start an hour early. It will be back to regular time tomorrow. I have a dental appointment here that I had to squeeze in that's coming up very shortly. So, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Remember, it's at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, just for tonight. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.